Today we'll be Ezra Hashem, begin the new parak, Kohen Gadol. As the Pnei Maven helps us understand what Tosfos says, why is this parak immediately placed after the previous parak? So, as the Pnei Maven says, it certainly belongs in our Masechta, because our parak, the Mishnah is going to begin and then continue speaking about the Kohen Gadol and the Melech participating in Din Torah, and we're learning the halachas of Din Torah. So it certainly belongs in this Masechta. The reason it's placed, however, says Tosfos, immediately after the preceding parak, because in the previous parak we spoke about the Kohen Gadol needing a Din Torah of 71 of Sanhedrin, etc. So now our Mishnah and Gemara are going to expound on those halachas. So says the Mishnah, Kohen Gadol don the don and I say the Kohen Gadol participates in a Din Torah and is also going to be the subject of a Din Torah. The Rishonim point out, when the Mishnah says Kohen Gadol, there are a lot of definitions to the word Kohen Gadol. Simply, as we remember from Chumash, a Kohen Gadol means somebody who was anointed with the Shem and HaMishcha. But as we have discussed previously, someone who's a Meruba Begadim, he's given the opportunity to wear the Shemayna Begadim, also is considered a Kohen Gadol. Moreover, as we discussed, I think, briefly in the previous parak, and we'll discuss it again, a Meshuach Mechama, who was the Kohen who led Klal Yisrael in battle, is also considered a Kohen Gadol as far as the halachas that we're discussing in this Mishnah and Perek. Kohen Gadol don v'don and Isai. The Rishonim say don v'don and Isai refers both to Dinei Momnes and Dinei Nefashis. Kohen Gadol participates. Made, he could be an aid or midin Isai, and testimony could be said about him. Chaylitz, the Chaltzim Lishtai, we know if someone passes away without children, so there's an opportunity for Yibum under most cases, and Chalitza, if somebody doesn't want to marry his sister-in-law. And here the halacha is, if a Kohen Gadol brother passes away without children, he does Chalitza to his sister-in-law, even though we would think that perhaps he shouldn't, because part of the Chalitza process involves the woman spitting at the man, and maybe because of the office of the Kohen Gadol, we would think so should not be done. Teaches us the Mishnah that it is done. And similarly, v'chotzen l'ishtoi, if he, rachman on passes away without children, his wife undergoes the chalitza process. Furthermore, if he passes away without children, u'miyabim esishtoi, his wife is a candidate for yibum. Avahu einu miyabim. If his brother died without children, he cannot do yibum to his sister-in-law, because by definition, she's an almana. And we know, we know a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an almana. Meis lo meis. The Torah says regarding a Kohen Gadol that he's not allowed to become tamei even to the closest relatives. And the Torah uses the words u'menamigdash lo yetze. And it's Hashem in the Gemara is going to explain the machloikis that we're about to learn how we understand pshat in the pasuk based on that. Meis lo meis ein yetze achamita. He's not allowed to follow the mace right behind him. As we've learned so many times, Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael particularly, was made up as a series of alleyways. And what the Mishnah says, Poshup Shat, is that when the Kohen Gadol follows the coffin, he should not be in the same alleyway. As they enter one alleyway, he'll be in the alleyway behind. Of course, the Cheshek Shleim and other Mefarshim say, if it's a long alleyway, and there's enough distance between the Kohen Gadol and the coffin that he should know to remain the proper distance, then he could stay behind. Never to be too close to the coffin. The Yoit Simon, furthermore, he only could go up to Pesach Shari Ir, up to the gate of Yerushalayim, Divrei Rav Meir. But he can't leave Yerushalayim. That's Rav Meir's opinion, and we'll speak about it more in a moment. Rabbi Yehuda takes a different position. Any yotzei min hamikdash, he's not even allowed to leave the base of mikdash to attend the funeral. Shenemar on hamikdash lo yotzei. So the Rishonim try to understand Rav Meir's opinion. Rav Meir obviously doesn't explain the pasuk like Rabbi Yehuda explains the pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda has a very narrow explanation of the pasuk. When hamikdash lo yotzei, he's not allowed to leave the base of mikdash. Obviously, Rav Meir, as we'll learn in the Gemara, doesn't follow that. So why can he leave Yerushalayim? It seems that all the Yerushalayim agree that even according to Rav Meir, he could only go up to the gates of Yerushalayim, no further. So I saw many explanations. One explanation is, because even Reb Meir agrees Min HaMikdash, he may not limit it to the Beis HaMikdash, but he says Yerushalayim is already Min HaMikdash. Outside of Yerushalayim is not allowed to go. Right. Another pshat that I saw, it's a simple gzeirah. Because we're concerned if he's going to start following the coffin all the way to the cemetery, he may end up going into the cemetery. And we don't obviously want him to go into the cemetery. A third pshat is that the Kohen Gadol is never allowed to leave Yerushalayim. And I saw a number of pshat on why he's not allowed to leave Yerushalayim. Miches Chinuch says a very interesting pshat. We know the halacha is that if somebody brought a carbon, anybody who brought a carbon, he had to remain Yerushalayim the night after. The Chiyuv Lina. That's part of the obligation when one brings a carbon. We know a Kohen Gadol had to bring a carbon every day. Minchas Chavitim, Machtzitzah Baboiko, Machtzitzah Bamerbayim, half in the morning, half in the evening. So every day he brought a carbon. So every day he has to remain Yerushalayim. So he can never leave Yerushalayim. The Klichanda has a different knach in what the Minchas Chinuch says. Interesting knach. He says that a Kohen Gadol had a Yontif every day. And Yontif, we're not allowed to leave Yerushalayim. Another pshat that I saw, it goes back to an issue that we discussed in the previous parak. We spoke about the tzitz, that the Kohen Gadol wore the tzitz, and the tzitz was meratza. On somebody who entered the Beis HaMikdash Tumah, or somebody brought a carbon betumah, the tzitz, if it was done b'shoigig, the tzitz brought a kapara. And we learned, if you will recall, a machlokes tanoim, if the tzitz is meratza only when the Kohen Gadol is wearing the big day kuna, or if even meratza when he's not wearing the big day kuna. According to the opinion that the tzitz is only meratza, only mechaper, when he's wearing the begadim, there's an opinion that the Kohen Gadol is never allowed to wear the shemayna begadim outside of Yerushalayim. So here we want the tzitz to be mechaper. And if he's going to take off the shemayna begadim, he's going to take off the tzitz, and which he will have to if he leaves Yerushalayim, we lose that kapara. So he can never leave Yerushalayim. And that's why, even according to a mayor, he only goes up to the gates of Yerushalayim. Continue the Mishnah. Kshimnachem Acherim. If the Kohen Gadol is going to Menachem Aveilim. It's interesting. In the times of the Mishnah, what they did by a funeral is just the opposite of what we do nowadays. We nowadays, Rechman Slam, we attend a funeral, the Aveilim, we make shurs, we make two lines, and the Aveilim pass between us. In those times, it was just the opposite. The Aveilim stood still, and everybody passed by the Aveilim. Says the Mishnah, Kshimnachem Acherim, Derech Kol Am Ovrim Zechazeh, typically all the Menachemim walk behind each other to Menachem the Aveilim, V'amuna Mematzah Bein Oyle Bein Am. Here, he's in between, there's the Mamuna and the Am and the Aveilim, he shouldn't be directly by the Aveilim. Kshimnachem Acherim, if the Kohen Gadol Rachman Tzlon is an Aveilis, Kol Am Ovrim Le'oyim, again, to show the sorrow that we're feeling with the Kohen Gadol, everybody says to him, Ono Kaparoscha, which is actually the place can say the minig that a person is supposed to say when he loses a close relative, when he loses a parent, Rechman Slan, for the first year, you're supposed to say, Areni Kaparos Mishkavoy, V'hu Aymelhem Tizborcha Meneshemayim. And he responds to them, thank you, you should be blessed for being Menachemi. The minig is, the aloch is, that when somebody comes home from a levaya, the aveilim come home from a levaya, the first suda, the arishayim, I actually saw, we don't pass them this way, that all of the meals that are eaten on the first day of Shiva, we don't follow this minig. I mean, because the first suda is known as the sudas havra, and he does, and the aveilim don't eat food that belong to them. The neighbors, the friends bring them food. Part of the suda is to eat round food. Aveilus always represents the Galgal Chayz Ba'olam. That's why the minig is to eat eggs. Ukshimavim Oysoy, so when he's sitting at that Sudas Havra, says the Mishnah, typically the Aveilim are sitting on the floor and the people who are joining him sit on chairs. Here again, because of the office of the Kohen Gadol, Kol Am Asum Mal Oretz, Hu Meisvel Safsul. Everybody sits on the earth and he sits on a chair. Very interesting Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi identifies an individual, I never saw that wording, an anatler, Aleph Nun Tes Lamed Reish. An anatler was what we would call a power of attorney. And the question that the Yerushalmi discusses, is a Kohen Gadol, can he choose an anatler a power of attorney to appear in Besdin because of the covet of the Kuna Gedolah. So Yishami says there's a problem because sometimes a Besdin paskins that you have to make a shvuah, and a Natler, if you have to make a shvuah, only you can make the shvuah yourself. Somebody cannot make a shvuah in your place. So there's a machloikas Rishonim how to understand what the Yerushalmi means. Some Rishonim say that what the Yerushalmi is teaching us is that since for a din Torah will a shvuah will be obligated, we can't appoint somebody with a power of attorney, so no din Torah can we send a shliach. Other Rishonim disagree. They say if there will not be a requirement for a shvuah in this Torah, we could send it a Natler. And then, according to the Yerushalmi, because of the prestige of the office of the Kohen Gadol, send it a Natler. Now, I saw another machlokes apayskim. If we're going to learn that pshat in the Yerushalmi is that we can send an anatler, that he can send the power of attorney to a din Torah, why would Allah on anyone? According to Jewish law, could someone send in a power of attorney? Could somebody send somebody to represent them at a din Torah? Some paiskim say, why not? Why is he any different? Why is anybody different than the Kohen Gadol? If there's a concept in a halacha of an anatler, why not? Others say, of course not, because we're going to learn that Allah is typically, you don't want the Sanhedrin, but the Dinim had to understand all languages. We don't want an interpreter. We don't want a meturgeman. This is the same. You don't want somebody representing you. We want the halacha prefers that the person on trial or the person in question show up himself. Continues the Mishnah. Hamelech loydon v'loydon anasai. Whereas we spoke about a Kohen Gadol being a dayan, and we spoke about a Kohen Gadol being subject to the entire. Hamelech, a king, is different. Loydon, v'loydon anasai, v'loymeid, v'loymeid anasai. Nor can he be an aid. Here too I saw the Yerushalmi debate. According to the Yerushalmi that taught us about this anatler, what does that mean? That the melech is never the subject of the entire? And even if he sends an anatler, or maybe if an anatler would be mutter, most say that he's completely absolved. The king should not do chalitza, because as I said earlier, the chalitza process, the chalitza procedure involves being spit at, certainly not for the covet of a melech. Neither is his wife, if he passes away, without children, subject to chalitza. And I saw a number of pshatim. Why? One pshat is because, again, because of the covet amalchus. It's inappropriate for the covet amalchus that the king's almana should go through the chalitza procedure. But then I saw two other pshatim. As we're about to learn in a moment, the halacha is that a king's almana can never get remarried. So there's a very interesting shaila in a halacha that some soif has a tshuva on it, many other places can discuss it. Let's say, Rachman Slon, someone passes away without children. And his wife is a very old woman. She has absolutely no intention of getting remarried. Is there a mitzvah to do chalitza anyway? Is there a mitzvah to do chalitza, or the whole purpose? Do we understand chalitza nowadays that we don't do yibam as we went to Sechti Yivamis? Do we understand chalitza just a method for how she could get remarried? And she has no interest in getting remarried, so we don't have to go through the chalitza procedure, which obviously is not a very pleasant procedure. Or is there a mitzvah to do chalitza even if she has no intention of getting remarried? So some want to use our Mishnah Zariah. That the king's almana, as we're about to learn, can't get remarried anyway. So there's no point. So chalitza is only done in order that she could get remarried. She's not getting remarried. There's no specific mitzvah to do chalitza. A third pshat, which I have a problem with, but I'm going to repeat, is that chalitza and yibam travel together. So where yibam is an option, chalitza is an option. But here, Yibam is not an option, as we learned, because the almana of a king can't get remarried. So where Yibam is not an option, Chalitza is not an option either. What's the problem with that pshat? Well, we learned at the beginning of the Mishnah. The beginning of the Mishnah said that the Kohen Gadol could do Chalitza, but not Yibam. If we say Chalitza and Yibam travel together, so how could the Kohen Gadol do Chalitza? Says the Mishnah. L'cholz v'lecholzim l'ishtoi, l'miyabim, he doesn't do Yibam on his sister-in-law, again, because of the Kavod HaMalchus, for Lo Miyam L'Ishtoi, and if he passes away, Yibam isn't done to his wife. Yehuda says, if the Kohen Gadol is anxious to help his sister-in-law, otherwise she'll never be able to get remarried. And the Rishchamim disagree with him. Because the Melech has no right to give up the Kavod HaMalchus. It's not his Kavod. As I said, no one is allowed to marry the widow of a king. Although a commoner may not marry the Amon of a king, another king may. And that's the precedent. She came at Sinu B'David, Shinos Amonosu Shoshol. David HaMelech married Shol's Amona, Shinema, as the Pasuk says, V'etnu L'chaz Beis Adonecho V'snishei Adonecho V'chekecho, you will marry your Shol's widow. So the says the Gemara. The Mishnah began with the words Kain Godel Don. The Kain Godel could be a dying. Ask the Gemara, Pshita. So the Rishonim say, why is it Pshita? So I saw two Pshatim. One Pshat is, the Kohen Gadol obviously was a very great and important person. How can we exclude him from being a Dayan? We want our best to be the Dayanim. Another Pshat is, the Pasuk says, Bein Dam Ladam, Bein Neg Lenega, Divrei Rivas B'Sherecha, Uvosal Kohen V'Leviyim, Ashir B'Yom Mahein. So the Pasuk clearly says that the Kohanim are going to be the Dayanim. So what do I need the Mishnah to teach me that a Kohen Gadol is a dying? Answer the Gemara, the chiddush is that the Kohen Gadol could be the subject of a Din Torah. Ask the Gemara, Hanami Pshita. He must be the subject of a Din Torah. Because Eloi Daininale, if he cannot be the subject of a Din Torah, he can never be a dying. Because the Pasuk says, Hiskoishu v'koishu, Vomer HaShlokish, Kshayt Atzmecha, V'akak Kshayt Acherim. If you can be perfected, that means if you could be the subject of the Torah, you have a right to be a dayan. Otherwise, you have no right. So again, the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara's question. If to us it's obvious that a Kohen can be a dayan, it also must be obvious to us that it can be the subject of a Din Torah. So what does Mishnah have to begin with? The words, Don V'Don and Isai. There's a lot to say about this concept of Kshayt Atzmecha V'Akach Kshayt Acherim. Interesting tshuva I saw in the Tashbats. Tashbats says that the Rivosh was appointed by the government in his city, in his country, that he could be the only one that could be the dayan of all cases involving Jews. And Tashbats says, it seems at first glance like a very great honor, but it's a real problem. Because if the Rivosh is the only dayan, and no one else could be a dayan, so nobody could ever take the Rivosh to a Din Torah. And our Gemara says, Kshayt Atzmecha V'Akach Kshayt Acherim. If you can't be the subject of Din Torah, you'll never be able to be a kosher dayan. So he says he should give back the honor. This concept of Kshayt Atzmecha V'Akach Kshayt Acherim, Farshim say, really is what we say before we say Shmoneh Esrei. Kishem Hashem Ekro. If we call out Shem Hashem ourselves, then we have a right, Havu Goydel Elokeinu, then we can speak about God to other people. But first we have to bring God into our own lives. The Chassidish Sfarim say that really that's what we say every day when we say Shema Yisrael. We declare Shema Yisrael, everybody should hear Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The Chassidish Sfarim say people have a very interesting way of thinking. When it comes to their gashmias, to their own needs, they think about themselves. When they think about ruchnias, they're worried about the other person's ruchnias. So they say, it should be just the opposite. We say, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We have to announce God as God. When it comes to another Jew, vahafta, just love your other Jew. Don't worry about his ruchnias. For your own ruchnias, vahayim Shema Yitishma. That's what, worried about your ruchnias and his gashmias. In fact, I saw a beautiful vart from the Pnei Menachem. He says, the Gemara says, it's a very famous Gemara, we learned it in Masechet Bava Metzia. The Gemara says, Shnayim Shoyim Mahalcha Mederach. If two people are walking in the desert, and one of them has a cup of water, and they can't divide it because it's not enough. So Halacha is, Chayecha Kaidman. You should drink the water yourself. You don't have to give it away to someone else if you don't have enough to drink. He says, that's in Gashmias. What about in Ruchnias? In Ruchnius, he says, what happens if you're walking with somebody else and you see that the person is not doing something properly? So he says, there's a famous, famous Gevalde Gevorot from the Baal Shem. The Baal Shem says, if you see somebody does an Aveira, it means because you did the Aveira. And therefore, if you're walking with somebody else and you see him doing something wrong, it's only a reflection of yourself. And that's why Kshayt Atzmecha Vakach Kshayt Acherim. But now the question comes up for rabbis. I mean, there are very few people that are perfect. So how could a rabbi ever give Musar? If Kshayt Atzmecha Vakach Kshayt Acherim. So I saw two answers. One is, if a person is appointed to a position, that's part of his position, that he's supposed to sage Rasha. And even if he isn't, unfortunately, yet on the Madrega, he's supposed to say what he's supposed to say. Another pshat that I saw in the Shiuri Das, he says a very nice word. He says, if we're going to wait for Kshayt Atzmecha, if we're going to wait until somebody's perfect, it's very hard. We may end up waiting our whole lives and still never be perfect. He says, a person is allowed to speak about a Madrega that he's attained. So let's say a person hasn't yet attained the highest Madrega in any area of Avodas Hashem. But he's attained a certain Madrega. Up to that Madrega, he's allowed to speak, and that is in the violation of Kshayt Atzmecha Vakach Kshayt Acherim. Just to end, I saw a wonderful story. There was once a rabbi in the city who was a fantastic orator, and he gave fiery speeches, mussar, to the oilem. And then he passed away, and they appointed a successor. The successor never gave mussar. And there were people that came to him and said, you know, we know from your predecessor that that's part of the job of a rabbi, to give mussar. So he says, I'm giving mussar. So he says, we never heard a word from you. So he said, Kshayt Atzmecha V'Akach Kshayt Acherim means as follows. You don't have to speak. You just have to act. Kshayt Atzmecha, the best speech is in your own behavior. If your behavior is a behavior of Kshayt Atzmecha, if you lead by example, V'Akach Kshayt Acherim, everybody will follow your lead by the way you live and the way you act. So again, the question is, why does the Mishnah have to say Don V'Don when I say? Answers the Gemara. El Aida D'Kam Mislel Misnoi. Since we want to learn in the Sefer, Melech Loi Don, for Loi Don when I say, that's why Tanin Namikai Gavna Don V'Don, even though there is no Chiddush. V'Bai Seima, the Chiddush of the Mishnah is Hoka Mashmon. Kritanya, we learned in a Braisa. We're going to spend time analyzing the Braisa. Kain Gol Sheharag is a Nefesh B'Mezid. If a Kain Gol killed somebody B'Mezid, Rechamon Tzlon, Nerek, he's M'chui Misa like any murderer. B'Shoigig, if he kills somebody B'Shoigig, he goes to Golus. V'Oiver, furthermore, he's Oiver an Essay, V'Lois Essay, V'Rehu Kehejit L'Chol Dvarov. And now the Gemara begins to analyze the Mishnah. Hence, the Gemara B'Mezid, if the Kain Gol murdered somebody B'Mezid, then Nerek, then he's executed. Ask the Gemara Pshita, of course, why not? Answers the Gemara, there's no Chiddush in that din. The Chiddush is, in B'Shoigig, if he killed somebody B'Shoigig, Goyla, that he goes into Golus, it's the Chalei. Ask the Gemara, Hanami Pshita, why shouldn't he go to Golus? Why is he different than anyone else? Answers the Gemara, it's the Chalei. Sa'akadata Chamina, Hoyldik Sevi Yoshev Bo, Ad Mois HaKoin Golul. We know that if somebody kills somebody B'Shoigig, and he goes to Golus, he has to remain there until the Kohen Gadol passes away. Eima called the Islay Takanta B'Chazara. Anybody who has the opportunity to get out of the Ari Miklot when the Kohen Gadol passes away, legally, such an individual will go to Golus. However, the last Islay Takanta B'Chazara, someone who has no way of getting out of the Ari Miklot, loy legally, he shouldn't go into Golus. The Tanan, as the Mishnah teaches us, if somebody kills the Kohen Gadol, or Kohen Gadol sharek sanefesh, or Kohen Gadol killed somebody else, ainu yotzei misham loylam, he has to remain there forever, ainu loy ligli. So since he has no opportunity to get out of the Ari Miklat, he shouldn't go there in the first place. Kamash malon, that no, that doesn't change the din that if he kills somebody b'shoigig, he goes to Ari Miklat. Ask the Gemara, v'em hachanami, maybe taka. Maybe the halacha should be that if he kills B'Shoigig, since he has no way of getting out of the Ari Miklat, he should remain there forever. Amakra, Lama Shama Korit Seach, the Mishnah uses, the Torah uses the word Kol, to teach us a field called Kohen Gadol B'Mashmah. But here we have a very big machlokes rishayim. The Gemara says, we just learned the Gemara, that Kohen Gadol who murdered someone b'shoigig, he doesn't have a way of getting out of the Ari Miklat. Says Tosfos, when does that take place? Only if there was no other Kohen Gadol appointed before he was sentenced to Golus. But let's say the Kohen Gadol, Rachman Shalom, killed somebody b'shoigig, and then he was sentenced to Golus. Then another Kohen Gadol was appointed. So by the time he was sentenced, there was another Kohen Gadol, he'll go out when that Kohen Gadol passes away. That's Tosfos' pshat. I think Rashi would agree with Tosfos. Many Rishonim disagree. Many Rishonim hold that under these circumstances, even if another Kohen Gadol was appointed prior to his sentencing, he wouldn't go out. And I saw Rav Shmuel Rozovsky explained what's the basis of the Machlokes. Because Tosfos is of the opinion that the moment, the defining moment, if you will or won't get out of Golus, is the moment of sentencing. So as long as there's a Kohen Gadol when he's sentenced, that's enough. The other Rishonim, I think it's the Ritva, primarily hold that there has to be a Kohen Gadol both by the murder, by the time of the Ritzicha, and the time of the sentencing. So obviously the Kohen Gadol himself can't free himself from Golus. So there obviously was, so practically speaking, there was no Kohen Gadol at the time of the Ritzicha. So even if there is a Kohen Gadol at the time of the sentencing, it wouldn't help him. What's the Nafkamina? We think about Rav Shmuel Rozovsky's Vart. What would be the halacha if a Yisrael, not a Kohen Gadol, killed somebody b'shoigig? But it happens to be at the time that he killed somebody b'shoigig, the office of the Kohen Gadol was vacant. If we follow the Pshat of the Ritva, as the way Rav Shmuel Rozovsky explains, there has to be a Kohen Gadol both at the time of Ritzicha and the time of Gemar Din. If there was no Kohen Gadol at the time of Ritzicha, such an individual would have to remain in Golus forever. Continues the Gemara. Oivah Asevaloisa say. The Mishnah says, Oivah and Asevaloisa say. Says the Gemara. Lesagi de Loyofer. Why not? If he does an Aveira, he did an Aveira. Hochakama. Amover Alasei Veloisa say. Arek Hedjik Kochal Dvorov. He's treated like a Hedjit, he's treated like a regular Jew. Says the Gemara Pshita. Answers the Gemara. Sakadat Chamina. Since we learned, Horel V'Tanan, ain't done in Lois Shevet, V'Lois Navi Asheker, V'Lois Kohen Gadol. We learned in the previous Mishnah that all of these individuals are only judged. LLP, Bezdin Shoshim Vechad, with the Sanhedrin, Vam Rav Adbar Hava. How do we know this? Because we learned the Pasuk says, Kol HaGadol, Dov HaGadol, Yovi Alecha, Dvar of Shel Gadol, Eim Kol Dvar of Shel Gadol. Any case that involves the Kohen Gadol should have to be brought to the Sanhedrin. Kamash Milan, then no. It's only a capital offense. But when it's a monetary offense or a situation of Malchus, the halacha is that he's tried by regular Bezdin of three. Ask the Gemara, who says? Maybe all cases involving the Kohen Gadol have to go to the Sanhedrin. Says the Gemara, Miksiv Divrei Gadol. If the Pasuk used Divrei Gadol, it would indeed mean any case that involves the Kohen Gadol. The Pasuk says, Hadova Gadol Tziv. It has to be a case involving the Kohen Gadol that's a Dova Gadol Mamish that involves an important situation like a capital case. But if it's a Mammon Digger case or even a Malchus case, we don't need a Pasuk. We don't need a Bezdin of Shim Ve'echad, a regular Bezdin of three. So Rishonim ask, we've explained what the Brisa says, Aloysa say. That the Chiddush of the Brisa is that any Malchus case also goes to a regular Bezdin of three. But the Brisa also said he's over an essay. What does the Brisa mean when it says that he's over an essay? So I saw a number of truths. One truth is that there is no Chiddush in essay. Just since the Brisa says Aloysa say, the Brisa says essay also. Another truth is there are times that Malchus is given for an essay. The certain mitzvahs say the Bezdin is kaifa. Bezdin forces a person to fulfill the mitzvah, and if the person doesn't want to fulfill the mitzvah, he gets Malchus. And the Brisa is teaching us that the Kohen Gadol is no exception. Another pshat, similar, is that we're going to learn that in certain situations, even if it's only a drabonin, Bezdin administers Malchus Mardis. And the Brisa is teaching us that the Kohen Gadol is subject to Malchus Mardis like any other Jew. The Mishnah said, the Brisa said, Meir Amidin, the Mishnah said it. Ask the Gemara, Meir, V'Tanya, V'Salamta. The pasuk that speaks about the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda, that if we find something lost, for salamta, to teach us, sometimes you're allowed to act as if you don't see the lost item. I see something, I'm not a kohen, but if somebody is a kohen, sees something in a Beis HaKfaris, so he's not allowed to go into Beis HaKfaris. So even though there's another Jew's lost item there, he shouldn't go in to take it. Actually, the Gemara teaches us Masechta Metzia that we don't need this pasuk to teach us that din. Why? Because the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda is a mitzvah sasei. A kohen not becoming tameh is an essay in a lois sasei. The ain mitzvah sasei doich lois sasei vasei. So it's obvious that a kohen may not go into a cemetery to take out an aveda. Zokin veinal fi kvoida, that it's not to my honor to carry the item. I wouldn't the item that's lost. Again, the Gemara says we don't need the pasuk for this. But let's say I have a very high-paying job, and I find your lost item, and the time it takes for me to return the item, it isn't worth the time. That's what lekach nemar the salamta. So maybe here too, for the kohen to say edus involves a bezoyin for the kuna gedayla, and why should he say edus? Before we go further, here the Gemara is teaching us the salamta. Pamim sha'atim is alim. Sometimes a person has to act as if he doesn't see it. So I saw a wonderful discussion. There's an interesting shaila that Rav Shlomo Kluge discusses. He says, let's say, question come up. Let's say I'm in my home, and I'm fixing something, I'm painting in my home. So I put on overalls, and it's not to the honor of a Talmud Chacham to walk out in overalls. And as I'm sitting in my house, a Hatzalah call comes in. There's somebody outside who needs help. Is there a concept of Zokei V'enel Fi Kvoidai? That even though it's a question of Bikuach Nefesh, I should go out and do what I have to do to save that individual. Shlomo Kluge is a Shaila. So from two contemporary Paiskim, why they don't consider it a question. The Miches Yitzchak says, there's a famous halacha, the Rambam quotes it, the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, in Hilchos Shabbos, that when it comes to the question of Bikuach Nefesh on Shabbos, the Rambam says, Afilu G'dayla Yisrael, not Afilu G'dayla Yisrael, the way the Mishnah Berurah explains specifically, G'dayla Yisrael have to go. What's the halacha teaching us? That when it comes to situation of Bikuach Nefesh, all of the calculations that the halacha always puts into play don't come into play. And that's what the halacha is teaching us. You could be wearing your overalls, you could be in your pajamas. You have to help whoever you can help. But then I saw from Rabbi Yoshev, Amar de Gechap. He says, maybe Rav Shlomo Kluge is on the right track. Maybe if our Gemara teaches us this concept of Zokei Enel Fi Kvoidai, it applies to every mitzvah. But says Rabbi Yoshev, what would be Chas V'Shalom Rachman Letzlan Le'Aleinu V'Le'Aleichem if somebody's child was in danger? Somebody's child was drowning, and he was wearing overalls. Would he start thinking, you know, it's not covered for me to go to save my child? No parent in the world would take that into consideration. He would jump. What I'm wearing, I'm wearing. So if you don't think about it when your child is drowning, you shouldn't think about it when somebody else is drowning. The Chassidish Sfarim discussed this concept of Zok and Veinu Fi Kvoidai. Here there's the Inyan, the Gemara is teaching us for Shabbos Aveda. However, the Gemara is saying that a Zokin Veinul Fi Kvoidai is exempt from a Shabbos Aveda, which causes a real concern. We are deep into Golus, and we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to schlep us out of Golus. But is it for the covet for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come down to our situation in Golus? Why? How will we get out of Golus? It's Zokin Veinul Fi Kvoidai. So I saw two beautiful pshatim. One pshat is that the halacha is the Rambam paskens this way, Shulchan Aruch paskens this way, that Enoch Hanami, the Gemara teaches us that a Zok of Enel Fik Foyda is exempt from a Shabbos Aveda. But the halacha is that let's say the Zokim began doing a Shabbos Aveda. And then he says, you know, this is not my covet. You can't back out. Once you began, you have to finish. Who brought us into Golis? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us into Golis. He has to finish the job of taking us out of Golis. Another pshat is indeed, that's the tefillah we say. Those of us that say Yidid Nefesh, some say Yidid Nefesh every day. So we say in the Yidid Nefesh, V'chusana V'altis Alim. What's pshat? V'chusana V'altis Alim. We beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have Rachmanis V'altis Alim. Don't say V'salamta Mehem. Don't say it's not my cover to take Klal Yisrael out of the Golas. We damn HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'chusana, have Rachmanis and shlep us out of the Golas. So now the question is back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that we take a Kohen Gadol and we could be an aid. Why is this not concern of the Salamta Leinol Fik Foida? Answer the Gemara, Amr Rav Yosef Meir Lemelech. When our Mishnah says that he's saying Aidus, it's for a Melech. Ask the Gemara of Atanan, how could it be for Melech? The Mishnah said that a melech loydon loydon I say, lemaid lemidin I say. So there's no need for him ever to say testimony for a king. Ela Amr Rav Zeira made leben melech. He's not saying for the melech, he's saying for the ben melech. Ask the Gemara, ben melech? In halacha, a ben melech hejed hu. He's no different than any other Jew. So again, who is he saying edus for? Answers the Gemara, ela maid befnei a melech. And the way the Yad Ramah explains the Gemara, is that the Kohen Gadol is saying testimony for the Ben Melech. We have a problem. He's a hedget. So the father, on behalf of the son, is sitting there, and therefore it's considered a honorable situation. Ask the Gemara, if the father's sitting there, the father can't be sitting there. Ve'y meshivim Melech b'Sanhedrin. We just learned in the Mishnah that Melech's not a member of the Sanhedrin. Answers the Gemara, Mishim Yukah the Kohen Gadol. We have here a situation. We need the Kohen Gadol to say testimony. And the only way the Kohen Gadol is going to say testimony is if the Melech is there. So what we do is, Mishim Yukr the Kohen Gadol, because of the honor of the Kohen Gadol, Osav Yosef Mekaba Noi Seduce, he sits there to hear the testimony. Kaihu, then, that as long as the testimony is said, for Ozel Umayin Le Anam Bedine. And then, after the testimony is complete, the king goes away, and then they deliberate. Says the Gemara, "Ain Gufa." We just learned, "Ain Meshiva Melech B'Sanhedrin, V'loy Melech B'Kohen Gadol B'Brishono." We don't have a king in the Sanhedrin, and nor is a Melech or Kohen Gadol part of the Bezin for Ibrishono. Melech B'Sanhedrin. Why can't we put the Melech in the Sanhedrin? The Ksiv Losana Al Riv, Losana Al Rav. We can't have a situation where there isn't going to be honest debate. And the Melech is part of the Sanhedrin, nobody's going to want to argue with him. And as the Rishonim explained, we're going to learn later in the Masechta what they did was, because to encourage debate, they actually, when they started deliberating, listened to the opinion of the not significant members, the less choshev members of the Sanhedrin first. And that's how they get everybody to give their opinion. That can be done in a regular situation. But here, if you have the Melech as a member of the Sanhedrin, you have a real problem. You can't skip him from saying the first opinion. This covered a Malchus. On the other hand, if he's going to say his opinion first, nobody's going to want to disagree. And we want debate. So he can't be a member of the Sanhedrin. When Melech or Kohen Gadol be Bashanah, nor can a Melech or Kohen Gadol be members of a dintar of Ibishana, Melech Mishum Afsanya, which the way most Rishonim explain is as follows. The king actually likes sleep years. Why? Because he's going to collect taxes. They collect the taxes on an annual basis. And here, and he paid the army, he supported the army from those taxes. So he get 13 months, he gives them their allotment, and they don't only have a 12-month budget, they get a 13-month budget that they get with one fee. Kohen Gadol, Mishum Tzino. The Kohen Gadol is not asked to be part of the Ibar Hashana because if they make the year into a leap year, so Yom Kippur will be late. If Yom Kippur will be late, it'll be cold. So what pshat that it's cold? So the way most Rishonim explain, even though Tosfos has a very serious problem with this pshat, is the Kohen Gadol, we know how to go to the mikveh 5 times on Yom Kippur. And it's cold, it's hard to go to a cold mikveh. So Tosfos asked that the Gemara says in Masechet Yuma that they used to make the mikveh warm. So what's the problem with a cold mikveh? So Poshpshat, the Rishon, many Mefarshim say, that not every Kohen Gadol wanted to rely on making the mikveh hat. Another pshat that I saw is that the Kohen Gadol, the first tefillah that he did was not in the Migdosh. It was only the mikveh in the Migdosh that they made warm. But the first tefillah he did before he entered the base of Migdosh, that was a cold mikveh. Others say that it had nothing to do with the mikveh. He walked on the cold floor barefoot. And the later in the year it is, the floor is colder and he has negius. Now this is a very interesting question in halacha. It comes up very often for rabbis. The question is, here the Gemara is saying that a kohen gadol, a melech, cannot be part of a din Torah that applies to issues that affect them. So now a question comes up, could a rav paskin a shaila that affects him? Could a rav paskin a shaila that affects him? So the Arzarua and the Taz and the Noida Behuda, both paskin like the Arzarua, that say if something is chazik isura, if something is in a cheskes isur, that we know it's osur to eat or osur, a person can't paskin for himself such a shayla. So the question is, how could a rav paskin a shayla that applies to him? Let's see, he has a question hilchas nida in his home. He has a question hilchas kashrus in his home. How could he pass from the Shiloh? So I saw two heterim. One heter is that something that's in a sefer, something that's explicit in a sefer, that's mutter. Because he's not really saying something new. He's just quoting what it says. That's one heter. Shulchan Aruch Rav seems to learn a different heter. Shulchan Aruch Rav says that if what he's paskening doesn't only apply to him, but applies to other individuals also, so while he's saying the psak to other individuals, it helps for himself also. Chazanish has a very different approach to the whole Gemara. Chazanish says a rov is a lot of paskin shailas. Any shaila that comes to him even affects his own personal family, his own life. So if so, how could he not paskin this shaila? We say he can't be part of the Ibur Shana Bezdin. He says there's a concept of mishpat. When we speak about mishpat, the Torah gives very clear guidelines who can and who can't be a dayan. And the Torah says that anybody who has negius, anybody who has any personal issue with this din Torah, he could be the most honest person in the world, can't be a dayan. So it's not that we're questioning his ability to be honest. The Torah says you can't. So I saw a beautiful vart. The Torah says, V'edab Hashem HaMosh V'Aaron Lamer, HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem. Moshe Rabbeinu taught Klaus, the Eibishter taught Klaus, Moshe and Aaron, the halacha of calendars and leap years. Why was it Moshe V'Aaron? So it's a beautiful word. Moshe was a melech. We just learned that the melech wants the year to be a leap year. Say he gets an extra month of saving the army expenses. A kohen gadol wants the year to be shorter, because he doesn't want it to be a Kol Yom Kippur. Yidav Hashem HaMosh V'Aaron. These two individuals should sit in the Torah together because they have opposite needs, and that's why we'll get an honest Torah. Says the Gemara, Amar Reb Papa, based on what we just learned, Shmamina Shata Basa Yachazel. We see, and we actually do see this, that if a year is a leap year, it must be because the seasons don't change. Actually, that's what we see, that if it's a leap year and Yom Tov comes late, if Rosh Hashanah, the Yom Nerama late, it's colder that year. Ask the Gemara, is that true? V'hanach gimel roi baka, davakaymi. There were three shepherds. V'shemin rabban of the Kamri. Chad Omer once said, in baka v'lokish kachada, if we see that wheat, which is typically planted earlier, and barley, which is typically planted later, if they sprout yenot, if they sprout kachad yenot, they sprout at the same time, then who other? That is other. Vimles, vlav, if it doesn't have this characteristic, lav den other, it's not other. Vacharama, im tar betzfar, if the axe in the morning, betlag yomus, he's freezing because of the snow, ubetahara, in the afternoon, betul tehene yidmuch, he would like to take off his skin. Yeshlach mashke. He would like to take off his skin. Dein hu adar. Vim lav, less than adar. Chad amar, in kudum takif lechada, ye yofach, if the winter is so weak that when the east sun blows, it brings cold. Again, let's read it together. In kidu takif lechada, if it's very cold, ye yofech bluach nofek lekabule, if you breathe and the steam that comes out of your mouth warms you, dain hu adar. This is adar. From lav, otherwise less than adar. Ravru rabbanon lehei shata. So we see that adar is supposed to be adar. In other words, adar sheni always looks the same way as adar is supposed to look. I was saying now that adar sheni doesn't look the way adar is supposed to look, because we say the seasons don't follow necessarily our making it into leap year. Answers the Gemara. Tizra Rabbanan Arvasa Samach. The Rabbanan, when they make a leap year, are they relying on what the shepherds say? Al Rabbanan Achushvinayu Samach. The Rabbanan rely on whatever reasons that we learned in the previous parak, you should make a leap year. Roy Bakas to you the Stayim Masayu. And after they make it into a leap year, sometimes the shepherds would say what they did worked well with the seasons. But it's not that we will make a leap year based on what the shepherds say. Although, as the Rishonim obviously point out, the Tkufa, the seasons, is one of the reasons that we learned in the previous parak we make a leap year. But it's not the only reason. There are other reasons that have nothing to do with the weather that we learned. If the roads aren't in good shape, if the animals aren't ready for the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara is teaching us that that's not the only reason to make a leap year. The leap year should be made based on the halacha considerations that we discussed in the previous parak. And sometimes it works with the seasons and sometimes it doesn't.